let's talk a little bit about Devarim and a little bit about Tisha B'Av. Okay? So the first medrash in Devarim plays on the words Eilah HaDevarim Asher Diber Moshe. So it talks about speech and language, and it quotes Pesukim. Let's see if I can find the medrash. It quotes Pesukim in Mishle that the Torah is Eitz Chaim and it's Lashon Marpe and it heals language. And in the end of days, V'haya Leo, V'haya Leo L'Trufa. The leaves will be for Trufa, and Chazal Darshan L'Trufa, L'Takin Esapeh, the word the language will be healed. I think about that a lot because today we have broken language in our world, not just language, it's broken communication. Part of identity politics is the inability to speak to other people, polarization of politics. The great irony is that great leaps forward in human communication breaks human communication. That's a Miguel Bovell irony. That if you're not careful about how you communicate, so you stop communicating. You stop communicating, become very polarized. You provide echo chambers where you're not really listening to anyone else. You're just talking to yourself. And it intensifies positions, radicalizes positions. Anyway, so end of the medrash talks about how Torah heals language, and then that's why you can write a sefer Torah in any language, except for Shimon Gamliel, so it's only Greek, but like the most Mishnah and Megillah. And then at some point the medrash says why you have to prove it from a pasuk of Mishnah, you just prove it from Moshe. Because Moshe was a stutterer, like that, Zarasvasayim, but then we finally learned all the Torah. He became Shakespeare. He became the greatest of liquids. It's this long, long speech, you know, say for Devarim. So all of a sudden, a person that could barely put together a few words, as we would say, now becomes a great orator, now becomes a great leader. So that's the overall flow of the Medrash. So he has some interesting conversation about how, and this is ironic, but let me first say that I'll tell you the irony, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is everywhere, Chassidus. People don't understand that. It sounds like very cliche. What do you mean? I also believe Hashem is everywhere. I believe Hashem's hashgacha is everywhere. I believe Hashem's presence is everywhere because he's ubiquitous, but there's a chias of Hashem. There's a force. There's a life force of Hashem. There's almost an essence of Hashem. And we call it an English version of the Kabbalistic concept. There's a secretion, a fresh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's much more than saying Hashem is here and Hashem is looking at me. Hashem's presence, it contains the whole world because it's a Makom Shel Olam. That's saying that there's an inner Kedusha of Hashem's emanation in everything. And it's a very people that don't understand Chassidus, they just say that, well, Hashem is everywhere. That's the Chassidus says, yeah, and if you're not a Chassid, you don't believe that. You think Hashem is in a little box somewhere. So you have to really be very, very precise with the terms what makes Chassidus different. Now, what does that everywhere mean? That everywhere can mean, okay, in everything that he created. Okay, because he created nature and he created. What about human creations? Is Hashem schius in that as well? And in Zazamis, it is. Because if the humans create, Hashem schius is in a human being. So therefore, their creation is continuing to extend Hashem schius. And that's not so obvious. It's not obvious because if you read, let's say, the Sefer HaTanya, there's some statements that to many sound very, very racist, right? Where there's a nefesh behemoth that every human being has, which is a subhuman system, and then only the Jews have a nefesh eloka mimal. Only Jews have that higher system of Hashem's essence, of Yibach B'Yabab, even though the pasuk of Yibach B'Yabab is about every human being, not about Jews. I try to tell people that these aren't racist statements, because in that context, many Hasidic Rabbanim really weren't even talking about Goyim. They're in the shtetl, and they lived amongst Jews, and the world was very dark and bleak, and they're trying to restore Jewish identity and Jewish beliefs. It's not like they were at an international symposium for international relations between Jews and Gentiles. And by the way, you guys don't have a neshama. It wasn't. It was a very different statement. You have to put things in context. But what did I want to say? But in the Sassamis, you don't have it. Sassamis is a chias in every human being. Is there a different chias? Of course, that's Rabbi Akiva's old statement. Just because you believe there's a equal distribution of Hashem's presence doesn't mean Hashem didn't choose us to be his children. So anyway, that's all by way of introduction. So he says that essentially every language, which is a human convention, right? There's no language that is objective or absolute that comes from heaven. French was made by people that lived in Normandy and spoke a certain language. Russian was made by. So these are complete and total human conventions. And you wouldn't think that Hashem's chias would be in human products because they're not Jewish people and they're human crafters. So where would Hashem's chias be? But the chias is there, but like every chias of Hashem, it's trapped and it's covered by Tuma and Klipos. But Torah has the ability to uncover that chias and to restore that chias. And that's what it means in the Medrash when Torah can heal languages, not just Moshe's tongue, but the concept of languages. And when Moshe translates the Torah into 70 languages, he's essentially redeeming and resurrecting the chias that it exists in every language. And if you just swap in the word culture for language, then you have a very, very ambitious Torah Ramada perspective where the culture that human beings create, I don't mean pop culture and trash culture and sports, I mean the ideas and the culture and the values that come from that culture that people create have a chias of a Kodesh Baruch Hu by being exposed to that culture. Now, you could claim, great, I've had a million lives to live. Maybe I'd study Hungarian culture and see the chias of Hashem. But I'm so strapped for time. I can study Baba Basra, I can study Chulin, I can study. So, but that's already not a Kabbalistic issue, that's a Torah Ramada question. Even if you try to, you know, slice the Torah Ramada question without Kabbalah, it's a real question, how much time you have available. Yeah, I believe Torah Ramada is a great idea, but how much time do I have to spend? Once and you know, I said to Hashem Ramada, what time will we left for Torah? But that's what he's describing. And when the Torah is written in other languages, or when Moshe translates his Torah into 70 languages, you're redeeming the chias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's embedded within those languages. And he says later on, because everything that happens in Chassidus is always forward thinking, then you make it feasible for Jews to live in those languages and cultures. So when the Jews will go to Spain, and when the Jews will go to France, and when the Jews will go to Argentina, and the Jews will go to Iraq, those places have already been redeemed, and Hashem's chias has already been made more accessible, either because Moshe translated the Torah into 70 languages, or when you actually write a Sefer Torah, as Moshe says, in 70 languages. So healing a language is not just a metaphor. Healing a language has deep cosmic impact. That you're uncovering the chias of Hashem that's embedded in human craft, and it's stuck in those languages, but it's concealed. And when you translate it, the Torah, you're redeeming those cultures and those languages. It's a very, very deep idea. Okay, v'lechein matir es halashon shelashonos ha'umos hein rechokos mehakedusha miskashmin. They're far from kedusha. That's a human craft, and they're not Jewish craft. Mekomakom ayideshin islabshu b'Torah be'os halashon misrape. Those languages become closer to Kedusha. What's fascinating, because he takes the same medrash and he discusses it every single year, so that you can really trace this over 20 years when he develops the ideas. Sometimes he talks about language, sometimes he talks about tongue, that's a separate issue, the power of speech, and where Kodesh Baruch Hu's chias is in the power of speech. Just a very interesting... Kodesh Baruch Hu Nasan b'teva atzma shel kol beria nekuda kedosha b'frat b'ishi sof shel isha nefesh kadosh. So here's the universal statement. Kodesh Baruch Hu Nasan b'teva atzma shel kol beria nekuda kedosha. So every creature, and by extension every creation of every creature, has the chiyus of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, maybe we'll read one piece about Tisha B'Av. Okay. There's a nice piece about Tisha B'Av. It's not a big chiddush, but it's just I'll put it into Hasidic context, into Kabbalistic context. Kol dor she'eino nivne b'yamav kila nechra b'yamav. Okay, any generation in which the Beis Hamikdash isn't constructed, it's like they destroyed it. So that's a very, very harsh statement, right? Yeah, I can't imagine anyone that takes that statement literally, right? We destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. That's obviously a statement that's very thought provoking. You have to understand. I think he's playing off of the word nivne. What does he mean? Kol dorsh ein nivne b'yamav. Kol dorsh ein obone Beis Hamikdash. Why does he use a passive term? Ein nivne b'yamav. Should he say kol dorsh ein obone Beis Hamikdash? Remember, Zasemis in particular, but Hasidim in general, they read Midrashim like we read Tanakh. Namely, when we read Tanakh, we read with a high degree of textual precision. Why this letter? Why this word? Why this phrase? When we read Chazal, certainly when we read Midrashim, right? But even when you read Gemara, when you read a Gemara, do you ask why there's an extra Vav, or why the Gemara uses this language? Obviously, you're sensitive for large language, the way they articulate major halachic concepts, but you don't sit there and say, why do you add the extra S, the extra or the extra grammatical change, and certainly with Midrashim, which we assume is homiletics, and homiletics are much more general. They read, Svasemis reads Midrashim the way we read Tanakh. Why did Chazal choose this letter? Why did they use this word? Why did they use this with a high degree of textual precision, high degree of textual specificity? So why does he say, Kol Darsh Eino Nivne B'Yamav? So he says, and this is an important Zionist framing medrash. I think that one of the pitfalls of modern religious Zionism is it's infected with this cultural mistruth of secular Zionism, that the entire world began in 1948, right? Arch secular Zionists will say everything before 1948 was just a 2,000-year tunnel of darkness. Okay, it's culturally important because we're Jews and we're in our culture. But they don't see it as a slow aggregate, as a process. Everything before. Now, religious Zionist Jews, sometimes because they live in the general Zionist community, they get infected with some of those ideas, and that's just causing such stress in some of the religious Zionist circles of people going off the derech. And everything started in 1948. And it's a whole new world, and Rishis Mechas Gula Seinu, when nothing before 1948 counts. So it's a general problem, and I spoke about it with the Talmidim last night, this year, Dalit Talmidim in my shir. But it's even a problem in Gula. Okay, you could say, look, okay, Gula began in 1948, but I still have to pull from the Masara before 1948. The answer is, even Gula didn't begin in 1948. Gula is an aggregate process, and every generation adds to the heap through its Torah, through its mitzvah, through its Meis and Tovim, and every individual adds to it. And then at a certain point, there's a breaking point. It doesn't mean why we deserve to be Nigal as opposed to the Chassam Sofer's generation. We deserve to be Nigal. It's an aggregate. Hashem decides whenever, A, that aggregate has reached a certain tipping point, B, whenever history calls for it. There are many factors in an algorithm. Hashem took multivariable calculus. He knows how to string together equations. He made those equations. So that's why he says Nivne, because it's a process. And if you don't work enough to get that process to its aggregate conclusion, then it's, rather than saying, you know, it's all on you, your generation, will you be the builders or not the builders? And if it is built, then you're the heroes, and if it's not built, you're not the heroes. And it's a process. Let's read together. It says, Wisconsin. It's an aggregate process. It's all accumulative. You think all of a sudden we're the generation that's worthy? Maybe not binyan beis hamikdash. The binyan nimshach kol yimei galus. It's a process. Every generation adds another stone, metaphorically. That's why he says in benching we say bonei Yerushalayim, not bana Yerushalayim or yivne Yerushalayim. Like goel, goel Yisrael. Goel Yisrael means Hashem redeemed us. Goel Yisrael, as Rashi says, right? Rashi says when he explains the bracha, Goel Yisrael means Hashem constantly redeems us. It's a constant process, not just the final gula, but all of the yeshuas that Hashem gives us throughout the generations and continues. So Bonei means Hashem is constantly building Yerushalayim rather than Yivne or Bana Yerushalayim. V'zeh shekasev shekol dar she'enu masiya lebinyano she'enu nivne b'yamav she'en yamav b'chlal habinyan. That you're not part of that. So if you're not part of that process, you don't have to be the builder, but are you part of the process? Which essentially means, in classic Hasidic irony, he redeems everyone from perfidy. If you read this medrash directly, any generation that doesn't build it, it's like he destroyed it. So basically, every single generation has been a destroyer of the base of Mikdash. We're basically incriminating every single generation, right? Was it built last generation? No, was it built two generations ago? So basically, every generation is just a base of Mikdash. So they're criminals. He says, no, if you're part of the process, if you're part of the Nivne process, then you're fine. Called Darsh Eino Nivne V'yamav. If you're a generation or a person, it then translates into an individual level that isn't part of the Nivne process, then you're something really atrocious. But as long as you do mitzvah, semais, and tam, you contribute to the process, then so it's a dual layer of Chassidus Shavar. A, because it redeems people from failure. It provides a resurrection of spirit even when people fail. And B, because it provides a continuity of generations, that you're part of the process. Remember, Chassidus is based on Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, there's no time. Or time is just a dimension, right? You're going to go now and have breakfast, so you're going to change your place. Can you also change your time? Okay, we don't know how to do that, but at least you're living Avram's life, and Avram's activities are affecting your Moshe. Translating into 70 languages is allowing you to live in Woodmere, you know? Because Moshe already created Chios in the English language, and or whatever the forerunner, the precursor of the English language was in those days. So it's a multi-tier Hasidic concept. Okay? It's an incredible sefer, but you have to. The problem is people read Sfas Emes too fast and without knowing.